This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it, I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
When I was hungry, and you gave me food. And you might go on to say, when I was thirsty and you gave me drink. When did you actually get a chance to take part in that? Or maybe you were a recipient of it, or you were a witness to it. This is a live show, and you guys make the show for us. So we're very excited to hear your calls on this subject. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and share. 866-348-7884. I would call this sheep behavior. The reason is, as you might remember, in Matthew 25, in verse 31, it starts out, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he'll sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he'll set the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For, and again, just think about sheep behavior, because here's what Jesus then said. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the neat thing about that, as you put the two together, is what's the difference between sheep behavior and goat behavior when it comes to hungry and thirsty and all these other kind of things? Well, you know, I really been thinking a lot about that, and did a show on the Christian Car Guy show last week on the difference between a goat and a sheep, and actually preached part of my sermon on Sunday about it. But as I've thought about it, that sheep, when they're threatened, they run it back to their flock and they look for their shepherd. But a goat climbs his way. He tries to make his own way up to the highest ground he can possibly find. And sometimes you'll find a goat out on a limb. You really will, just like me. I've been out on a limb many times when I tried to climb my way out of trouble. But interesting, flocking behavior is when the sheep, you know, kind of take care of each other's needs. And it has to do with having faith in your brother, that he can meet your need and that kind of thing. And so, you know, Jesus put this together, but when did you actually see something like this? And this is what I would love to hear your calls on. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Here's an example. So a few years ago, I went with Teen Challenge to Jamaica on a mission trip to do sort of a masculine journey boot camp over there for the Teen Challenge camp in Jamaica. And it was also the graduation from some of the Teen Challenge guys. And we got on an airplane and flew over there. We got there about 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was on the plane with a very neat, neat guy, a man I've come to dearly love since then, by the name of Corn. I just call him Corn. His name's Ricky Corn, but I just call him Corn because he's one of those men that you'll meet. He just lives from his heart. He really does. He sat down next to me on the plane, actually kind of scared me, and said, hey, you know, sir, I've seen some things. You know, and by the time I got through talking to him on the plane, I'd agree he had seen some things, and it was a little bit scary. But nonetheless, as we got off the plane, we went, you know, driving into Jamaica, and we stopped in some town, I couldn't tell you what. We stopped at a Burger King, and it was like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And there were tons of people out there. And when we stopped the bus, John, who was with Teen Challenge there, says to all of us, now look, whatever you do, these can be very dangerous people this time in the morning. Do not talk to them. Do not engage them. And whatever you do, don't give them any food. And he was like, is that clear, Robbie? Yes, that's clear. Crystal. Is that clear, Ricky Korn, yes, that's clear, crystal clear. No food. We're not giving anybody any food. We're not talking to them. We're going to go in there. We're going to get our food because we hadn't eaten all night. And so here you go. So I'll never forget this as long as I live. We all go in there, get our food. It's very busy. We come out. Ricky actually came out before, you know, Korn came out before anybody. But as soon as we saw him, he'd already given this guy a bag of food. And, of course, the guy from Teen Challenge just went ballistic on him. I mean, it was like, what part of don't give anybody any food do you not understand? And literally, Korn said nothing. He just sat there like a sheep that had been slaughtered, man. He didn't say a word. He just sat there and took all the screaming and yelling, whatever that happened in the van that night. I'll never forget it. And you could tell that the director was really, really angry with Ricky. And so, I you know, I've known this story for years and years and years, but it wasn't until, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And so when I was sitting at boot camp this year, Ricky decides for whatever reason, and at this point in life, Ricky says, you know why I gave that guy that food that night? And I was like, no. I said, I know one thing. We all got in plenty of trouble over you giving him that food. He goes, well, this is what happened, man. I walked out the door, and there was this homeless man, and he was going through the trash. You know, there's a big dumpster right there, and he was going through all this trash, and he had a great big cup in his hand. And what he was doing, he was pouring out the drinks of that weren't completely finished and mixing up what I would call a super Dr. Pepper. All these people's different drinks, he was pouring into one cup, if you can picture the scene. And the man, you know, when he was doing all this, just turned to me, lifted his cup in the air, and looked at me with complete sincerity. This is Ricky telling me the story, and said, ain't God great? And then drank his drink. And Korn just melted. I mean, because again, this is a man who lives from his heart. The man didn't ask for food. He didn't ask for money. He just said, ain't God great? Well, that was all Korn needed. It was like, man, here, you need this much more than me. And he, of course, he gave him his bag of food. And I know that I know that I know, right? If nobody else was watching that night and nobody else saw, you know, what Ricky went through after he gave that man that food, Jesus did, right? And so I would love your story, right? What does that bring up in your mind when you had a chance maybe to give somebody something, or maybe you gave somebody a ride? Maybe somebody'd run out of gas on the side of the road, you know, or maybe you'd run out of gas on the side of the road and you were the recipient of that. What does that conjure up in your mind? I would love to hear your story. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We got your stories are coming up. I call it sheep behavior when we're not being bad boys. So, you know, taking care of the flock, so to speak. When we come back, want to hear your story. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live. You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
When was I hungry and you gave me food today on Truth Talk Live? I love that. I love that question. And I love the stories that I know it conjures up. So we got several I'm excited to hear. And first off, we got Jonathan, who is in High Point, North Carolina. Jonathan, you're on Truth Talk Live. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Well, I don't have a food story. I mean, I think we all try to help folks out when we can. But for those men out there on the road who drive trucks or travel, I have a God faithful story.
Oh, good.
And, you know, I would tell your ads a minute ago when they were talking about the government making women vulnerable. And I'm sure the sexist, I will get someone a little offended by this statement, but I do believe that in a declining culture, women and children suffer the most. And a lot of times in marriages, a woman can't feel comfortable trusting her husband or trusting her situation. And a lot of times they end up suffering. So I have a story where I was traveling a couple hours away, had some family conflict, and was delayed. My wife didn't want to answer the phone. And it turned out that I stranded myself without any money, without a coat, without even my wallet so that I could purchase food. And I was going to run out of time as a truck driver without the ability to not break the law. And also couldn't buy any food. And I think I may have had an issue with my vehicle, too. Couldn't contact anybody, nothing. And my only lifeline was my spouse. And she wasn't answering. But, you know, in God's faithfulness, you know, when I just moved forward to get back on the road and do what he had given me to do my job for my family, I made it back close enough to be within that window of time where I could switch over to a different duty, take personal conveyance, they call it, and get back to the terminal and get my vehicle. All things aside, you know, men today are really pinched in a culture where we're not necessarily thanked, but we're also expected to man up and be Jesus to our families. And I will say that God is very faithful in that respect. And so if maybe men out there who've had a long week are going home wondering what it's going to be like, if they just take a minute and ask the Lord to give them what they need to be the strength of the family, I believe he will do it.
Yeah, I love it. The stories where God's the hero of the story, right?
Well, yeah, I think most of the men out there can testify that we're not the heroes that we want to be without a whole lot of help.
So. Oh, I imagine there are many, many men out there that can totally relate to you, Jonathan, and, you know, totally stranded ourselves, you know, our wives, Oh, yeah, man.
Wife's not interested at the moment. So,
well, I appreciate that very much, my friend. I'm so grateful for your call today, and I'm sure that encourages several men out there. I know it encourages me. So thank you so much for calling, Jonathan. God bless you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. We got Rebecca is in Springfield, Ohio. And, Rebecca, you're on Truth Talk Live. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What you got for us?
So I, my daughter and I were coming home one night. It was just at dusk. It was getting a little dark. And there was a car broke down the opposite direction of us. And my daughter said, that car broke down. And I was like, I don't know, maybe, probably. And she says, do you think we should go back? And in my mind, I'm just thinking, I ain't going back with you. I want to be, you know, my job is to keep her safe. And so we just keep on going to the house. We're just about around the corner from the house. And we get to the driveway. And she's like, you know, we got to go back. We got to go back. And I was like, why? And she's like, I don't know, but I feel like we got to go back. So we turned around, went back, and it ended up being one of her classmates' mom. The classmate kind of just dropped off the face of the earth two years prior. So we were able to catch up with her and just find out everything that's going on in her life and just pray with her. And we were able to follow her back to the gas station, and she's just crying and everything. And it was such an awesome opportunity, not just to walk out, but to know that my daughter hears his voice as well, and that he was prompting her to go back. That was very rewarding for myself.
Oh, I can imagine. And really, because obviously you trusted your daughter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all part of that particular story, and it is so cool that... you know, that it was truly a lady that would be involved with both of you. That's absolutely amazing story, Rebecca. That's the kind of story that makes my day. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks for closing the show. Have a good day.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye. What's your feet? I was hungry and he gave me food, or some, you know, stuck on the side of the road, or whatever it is that you might recall that's along these lines. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. We got Buxman is in Dayton, Ohio, and Buxman, you're on Truth Talk Live. What you got for me?
Well, now this is funny, Robbie, because I'm in the same town as Rebecca right now.
Oh, really?
I'm in Springfield, Ohio, believe it or not. So that is such a God wink that I'm in the Arby's on Bechtel Avenue, Rebecca, on Bechtel, getting myself a couple chicken sandwiches there, Rebecca. God bless you, young lady, up here in Springfield, Ohio. And so I thought that was pretty cool, Robbie.
Yeah, well, not only that, but it kind of goes with our passage because, you know, if you read in the King James Version, it says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. And I know that Arby's has the meat.
Arby's has the meat. Are we allowed to do that, Robbie? I mean, I'm sorry, Stu. Robbie made me do it. Send the bill to Bussman. Oh, for crying out loud. So here's my story, Robbie. And, you know, it's really cool to hear all these cool Christians saying this is what happened because this is basically proving to anybody who's listening to True Talk Live right now, and you happen to turn your radio on to 106.5, where me and Rebecca listen to the Truth Talk Network, you might be just listening right now, not a Christian yet. Well, this is going to hopefully help you, young man or young lady, to believe that that God that you can't hear, see, or touch is in fact real, because you've got real people that you can hear, see, and touch talk about real things that happen. So this is what happened on my end where I got to be the Jesus brother. I got to be the one who gave. So I love thrift store shopping. I do. It's almost an obsessive compulsive behavior with me, Robbie.
That's cool.
Anybody else out there in Truth Talk love thrift stores?
Yeah, my daughter does. Yeah.
I do. So I went in there and I saw this awesome leather jacket for a little girl. I don't know, probably. I just looked at it, and the price tag, Robbie, was so good, I had to get it. I'm like, this is too big for my daughter, but maybe, you know, somebody else's daughter. So, and it was in perfect condition. It was pennies on what it was worth, so I bought it along with the other bunch of stuff, and I won't talk about that because it's now hoarded in my garage. Anyway. So
Bussman, we're going to have to stop in mid-story because the break is coming up. And, of course, we want your story. You got to call us during the break, 866-348-7884. When I was hungry and you gave me food. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live today. When I was hungry and you gave me something to eat or you gave me food, what's your story along those lines? I would love to hear it. 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. We've had some amazing ones. We were in the middle of this story where we'd purchased a leather coat at the thrift store, and Bussman, take it from there.
Well, overall, wait a minute. Let me finish eating my sandwich.
Oh, no.
So here's what happened, Robbie. So I had that little jacket. I had forgotten it because I had gone to the thrift store a couple days prior, had the jacket in the back seat, and it was really cold. It was a cold November day, and I pull up, and I see this mom and this little girl waiting on the bus. Now, this is in a poor area of Dayton, Ohio, okay? So I knew, based on what they looked like, they didn't have a whole lot of money, and the little girl was standing there without a coat on. I was like, holy mackerel, that's got to be cold. And God reminded me, and I looked back, Robbie, and there was that jacket. And yes, Truth Talk Live, it fit the little kid perfectly. It fit her perfectly, Robbie. It was bizarre. And the little kid just smiled, and the mom gave me a hug. It was at the stoplight. I got back into the car and drove away. And I'll tell you, that kept me going for a long time. I was like, wow. Okay, God, I hear you loud and clear. So I had to share that with you. And then also, I wanted to give you a Bussman report on yesterday's prayer event for National Day of Prayer in Zeno, Ohio. Robbie, your prayer was answered. Such a great group yesterday. So many great prayers that were prayed. you could sense the Spirit of God show up in Xenia, Ohio, and it was just awesome. So thank you for your prayer, brother.
Oh.
And I'll listen to the rest of the story.
All right. Thank you for calling in, my friend. You have a great weekend, too. God bless. All right. So I know you've got one, and I want to hear it. 866-348-7884. And so the other one I have is really more my wife. I was involved in this particular story. But my wife does such a great job of telling it. I know she wouldn't call in and share it, but she really does. So not long after I came to work at Truth Broadcasting, this was probably 16, 17 years ago. I don't know. It might have been longer than that. But anyway, it was a good while ago. And this poor mom that had been beaten by her husband, abused severely, and she had like 5 kids with her. And she didn't know where else to go because all the homeless shelters and all the shelters for women in this area would separate a mom from her family. And she was just trying to get away from the guy that was beating her, and she had no place to go, and she listened to Christian radio, and so she came to Truth Broadcasting. And, you know, everybody was like, what are we going to do? You know, how could we help her? Well, if you were to know my wife, Tammy, her gifting or her glory, so to speak, is she loves children. I mean, she loves children, and she loves to hold, you know, all the time when we were growing up, not only, I mean, when we were raising our kids, she always loved to hold the kids in Sunday school and did that kind of thing. And then we did special needs, which actually were adults, but they, you know, we're all big kids, and that's probably why she does so well married to me, because I'm a big kid. But anyway, that was her. So I just figured naturally she would be up for, you know, these folks come and at least stand with us for the weekend. So I call her. I said, Tammy, there's this poor woman. She's trying to escape her husband. We got to find her a place. What if we bring these kids home, you know, just for the weekend? And she said, are you out of your mind? And she said, why don't we find them a hotel and why don't we put them up? And I'll come down there. And so she drove down to the station. And off we went, and we found a hotel, motel, whatever it was, and you know, we set them up, you know, got them in the room, all this stuff. And when they came in, they had like more laundry than I've ever, because apparently, you know, her name is Marcy, and she was so thoughtful to, you know, try to bring enough clothes for all the kids. So she has most everything that they own, you know, in this big, you know, thing, and it was all, they were all dirty. And so my wife was like, well, let me do your laundry. And no, you're not going to do my laundry. Well, my wife finally said, no, I'm doing your laundry. So she takes all these clothes. It was unbelievable. And literally she stayed up all night long. I mean, till, you know, the next day was Saturday, I think. And when I got done with my shows, we took all that laundry back to the hotel where they were staying. And we made arrangements for them to come to church. And, you know, we at that point in time did not have much money. We just lost the dealership ourselves and we were struggling. But nonetheless, we were going to do what we could to make sure that Marcy was okay. And you know, between her, my wife actually worked at a daycare at the time because my granddaughter was there. And, you know, so we helped Marcy stay there for a while. And then a lady in our Sunday school class had a rental house that she was struggling to rent. So we got her in that house and some other people from the daycare or Tammy's helped provide furniture. And on the story went, it was so beautiful. And we just watched God provide and provide and provide for Marcy. And, you know, they were coming to church every week and things seemed like they were going great. And then, oh my, one night Marcy didn't answer the phone. And so Tammy just goes over there, you know, bold as she is. And when she goes to the door, the man that had been beating this poor lady answers the door. And he, according to my wife, I wasn't there, was none too friendly. And she said, well, I want to see Marcy. And he said, Marcy's not here. And she said, no, I see her right over there. Marcy, are you okay? So Marcy took Tammy actually back into another room and said, you've got to get out of here. He will hurt you. You know, I ask him back. It's not his fault, you know, but I just couldn't do it anymore and blah, 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 blah. And in about a week and a half, they pulled out of that house, left everything there. It seemed like, oh my goodness. And it literally broke my wife's heart because she had poured so much into Marcy and those kids. And And we'd gone everything with him. And it was interesting to see. Of course, we continued to pray for Marcy, but it just really hurt my wife's heart, which had worked so hard for this. You know, probably had gone on for like 2 or 3 months at this point. What's the beautiful part of the story, the reason why I want to make sure that, you know, is sometimes you give up hope, but about 10 years later, literally, one day, Tammy and I are out somewhere, and she says, look at my phone, and I can see it says Marcy is calling me. And I said, well, I answer it. And she goes, she just wants something. And I said, Tammy, answer the phone. And it was Marcy. But Marcy didn't want anything. She wanted to call and thank Tammy for coming to her aid in one of the lowest parts of her life. And then she actually took Tammy to lunch, and they have remained friends to this day. And, you know, she got away from that man and all that stuff. God did it, right? It wasn't Tammy that did it. It wasn't us that did it. God did it. But Marcy knew that it was Jesus that was taking part of that story, you know, when, you know, Marcy couldn't meet her own needs, that Jesus was still doing it, sometimes through us and sometimes other ways. The point is, don't give up. You never know what's going to happen. We got Mike is in Ohio. We're excited to hear from Mike. I haven't heard from you all week, Mike. I mean, how are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful. What you got for me?
Well, this is crazy. Well, maybe it isn't. God's never crazy, is he?
Oh, he doesn't think like
awesome.
We think, that's for sure, yeah.
I was online, and I was looking at some woodworking things, you know, and I'm a woodworker, and I make cabinets, and I'm trying to learn how – I was trying to get some ideas how to make a curved door. All of a sudden, this video came up, and it was about pulling a car and how to put a seatbelt around your shoulder. And you put it around your shoulder, and you put your hand on the shoulder, you lock the seatbelt, and you're able to push the car out. And God said to me when I was looking at these video for woodworking, I was trying to research a little bit. He says, remember that, Mike, remember that. I'm like, what in the world am I going to remember this for? Well,
wait a minute. Before you go on with this, Mike, I got to know, because I'm the Christian car guy, you know. So
yeah.
Now, so you're going to push the car out, and you open the door, and you put the door
and you put the seatbelt around your shoulder, and you lock it, and you're able to really push this car really easily with the seatbelt.
Really?
It's amazing.
Inquiring minds need to know.
Pushing cars out forever, you know, you never realized that how much strength you have by putting this, and I'm 58 years old, you know, and I can't push cars anymore, but here I am pushing cars, you know what I mean? So, with the seatbelt, you know, and it's really good. You put it around your shoulder, and you lock the seatbelt, and you open a door, and you can shut the door too, as the video says, either one. You open the door before you can steer it, you know, this car.
Right, right.
And you lock the seatbelt, and you're able to use the seatbelt to push the car, and your leverage with the seatbelt. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's amazing how much leverage you get with this.
Well, we're going to hold it right there now. I'm sure that the entire Truth Talk Live audience knows as well as I do that God's going to use this ability to push a car with the seatbelt here in a minute. We're going to find out what happens to that story. But almost as important, maybe I just want to hear your story. I know you got one. And so call us at Encourage So Many, 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today, when I was hungry and you gave me food, or when I was thirsty, you gave me drink, these things that Jesus says to those of us in, you know, at the throne of judgment, right? And oh my goodness, these stakes are high, and we have these opportunities every day. It's interesting the way they work out sometimes, just like Mike explained in the story that we're going to hear the rest of, that, you know, God doesn't work like we work. We don't think like he thinks, and it may be your daughter, you know, that's calling in that's talking to you saying, you need to stop, you need to pull over. It may be the Holy Spirit's voice, however that works. How did it work out for you, Mike? So you got this instruction on how to use the seatbelt, on how to push the car. Then what happened?
Well, yeah, and then I went to work on Saturday morning. This last Saturday, and I listened to you on the radio, your car guy thing, too, as well. And anyways, this guy, in the Uber guy, he drives in the back of my building area, and there's no road back there, and he's stuck in the mud. And I'm like, what in the world is this guy doing in my back of my yard and back of my building here? And I go out there, and he has tattoos, and he has ear piercings and everything that you would think, oh, my gosh, I need to watch myself here, you know, and I did. I had to watch myself. Yeah. Anyways, real quickly, he says, I got stuck. I used my GPS and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm stuck back here. And I says, okay, well, we're going to do this. We're going to push this car out of the mud. And it's high as the wheel well. I mean, the mud is on there. And I tell him, okay, this is how you do it. You put your seatbelt on, you do this, you do this. And we push this car out of the mud. And it's unbelievable. And then, as I pushing the car out of the mud, I said, praise the Lord. This is awesome. You know, I mean, that's what I said to him, you know, and it was, my Holy Spirit was on me. And he looks at me and he goes, you're a Christian? And I says, Yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm a little bit nervous about it. He says, I used to go to church. I says, oh, well, and I said to him right away, I said, church doesn't get you to heaven, you know, but you need to follow God and do what God wants you to do. And that's what I just did for you just now, because God showed me a video of how to push this car out of there, and I explained it all to him, right?
Yeah,
and I witnessed to him, and it was really cool, you know. And then not even two days later, a guy's stranded in the middle of the road, and it's an accident. This car is in the middle of the road, and its cars are just barely missing him. And I pull over, and I use the seatbelt thing, and I push him out of the way. I mean, 2 days later, you know, this was on Wednesday of this week. And I go, and this guy, same thing, doesn't look like, oh my gosh, you got to watch what you're, you know, you just don't know, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right. It's scary.
God tells you to do things, you do it anyways, you know. And then I turned around, I pushed the car around out of the way, and he goes, thank you, thank you. And he goes, you did this because God told you. I was praying in that car for somebody to come along and help me get this car out of the way, because I thought I was going to have someone wreck into me. And I says, yep, I've seen this video about the seatbelt the other day, and this is awesome. And he goes, thank God God showed you the seatbelt. And I said, thank God he did, because you would have been smashed back there. You know what I mean? And it was God lifted me up this whole week because of that. And it's just, you know, it's just amazing. You know what I mean? Amazing. I'm telling you, Mike,
that is, and of course, the thing that jumps out at me as I hear your story is that in a way, it was like God was answering that man's prayer when he said, Mike, you need to remember this. In other words,
exactly.
He was in, God's in all time, right? He's in eternity, yeah. Which is a beautiful concept, and why he probably thinks of it, you know, in such amazing ways.
And I was obedient, you know what I mean?
And it was. And so getting back to the mud one, which, by the way, you got a story. It's coming up. We got just a few more minutes to get yours in. We would love to hear it. 866-348-7884 866-34-TRUTH. But I'm going to go back to the guy stuck in the mud, right?
Yeah.
So were you, and it is amazing. I should have known about this. This is, so you guys.
Sorry, car guy.
Yeah, really. So both you guys were on both seat belts on the passenger side and the driver's side. Both of you were pushing.
Yeah. Yeah, he. You put the seatbelt outside the car, and you roll the wheel down, and then you lock, you shut the door on the passenger side, and you use the seatbelt and your hands and everything else to push the car, and you get a lot more leverage than trying to push the bumper, and it's like you're in the middle of the car, and you're able to like lift this car. You're literally able to lift the car with the seatbelt. It's It's pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Now when I'm listening, I'm thinking,
I'm 58 years old. I've never seen this before either.
It's one thing to, because interestingly, I stuck my car in the neighbor's yard. I'm guessing it was in February, and you know, it was one of those where there was ice on the windows and all this stuff, and I back out of my driveway, which is real steep, and it goes right straight into the neighbor's driveway, and I'm stuck in the mud up to the top of the axles, and I'm trying to picture me on a seatbelt and somebody else pushing that thing out of the mud. That's from phenomenal leverage. So my hat's off to you, man. And more than that, you know, having the boldness to be obedient, to pull over or to help that guy, and then you know, the conversation that God was the hero of both those stories. Right. Such
God
amazing.
God was in the conversation. It really was. It was just, this guy with the, in the mud, he just says, at the end of this whole thing is, I'm going to look you up on Facebook and about your cabinet business. He says, no, you don't need to do that. You need to go follow God. And then he goes, I will, sir. I will. And, you know, and it was like, that was awesome. You know?
It was.
That was just awesome. You know, you don't worry about me. Follow God. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, that was I'm not trying to toot my horn or anything.
I know. You got a chance to see God at work. God told you to remember it.
So cool. And you
did. So I got to go to another one to get him in before the end. Thanks, Mike. You have a great weekend. God bless.
You too. God bless.
Kenneth is in Yanceyville, North Carolina. Kenneth, you're on Truth Talk Live. Try to go fast, though.
Okay, Robbie. I'll try to keep it short, man. This is the first time I've ever called in. But you being the car guy, I thought you could probably appreciate this.
Oh, good.
Okay, I've got, and just trying to make it as short as I can, but just to the shortest version of it, me and my wife had a friend that was, had been in prison for 7 years, and he got out, and we felt very burdened to help him. He received Christ as his Savior, and he just came out, started with nothing, and I lined him up a job, but he didn't have any transportation, so the Lord burdened our heart to loan him a vehicle, and we had a Honda Civic that had over 350,000 miles on it, and a solid car, but very high miles. But we loaned it to him for him to commute back and forth to work, and that's what we felt strong the Lord have us to do. And after a period of time, he had an accident, and it totally lost the car. We'd had it for about 10 years plus. Anyway, the car meant a lot to us, but and naturally was a little disheartened when we found out was wrecked. Okay, not upset with him, just something happened. I mean, he hit a deer with it, and that could happen with anybody. Okay, and resulting in this, little did we know, of course, if we would had known that we would never get our car back, I'm not sure if we would have loaned it. Honestly, okay,
right. But that's what he did.
With that said, he had full coverage on the car, and the insurance paid. It didn't pay what we felt like the car was worth, but it did pay, and it paid us, you know, that amount. And we set that aside to make a down payment on a car for my wife because her other vehicles got high miles as well. And the Lord worked it out to where we ended up buying a car from an estate that was a Lincoln LS with 48,000 miles on it.
Oh my.
And the insurance check covered the car, brother. So my story is just how that God honors a single act of obedience.
Yeah, you can't outgive God. I've heard that so many times. And what a testimony. You know, I'm so glad, Kenneth, that you got a chance to experience that firsthand, and your wife clearly. So what about the poor guy who needed a car after that?
Okay. So he's still, he's borrowing another car. He's borrowed a car from his in-laws. So he does have transportation.
So yeah. he's getting back and forth, and is he doing okay?
Well, he's struggling with some depression and stuff, honestly, but, y'all pray for him.
What's his name?
His name's Dwayne.
All right, well, let's pray right now. Lord, thank you for Dwayne and this story that Kenneth has shared about what his needs have been. And we just pray that he would sense your presence, that he would see in Rodney what it means to walk with you, that he would push into his relationship with you and find true meaning there and true hope, and that you would help get him on the path to restore his financial situation, but most of all his spiritual situation, and help him with, you know, the right counselors or help wherever he needs to get it, Lord. We raise up somebody to do that, and we ask this for him in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Robbie.
Oh, thank you, as always. I am grateful. That's an amazing story. And, you know, tell your wife, enjoy that Lincoln. Or to quote a great song I love, my father said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking. If you don't stop driving that hot rod.
upgraded from a Civic with 300,000.
Well, you have a great weekend, Kenneth. Everybody do that. We will talk to you next week. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.